You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, here we are, an emergency Locked On Podcast Network crossover podcast. Brian Peacock here of Locked On 49ers. I am with Kyle Krabs of Locked On Dolphins. Woo! What a day, Kyle, already. The 49ers and the Dolphins, and by the way, the Dolphins weren't done, so we'll get to more of that three-way maneuver going on with the Miami Dolphins, but the 49ers are now drafting number three in the NFL draft, and the Miami Dolphins went from 12, then back up to six. Presumably, the 49ers moving up for a quarterback. The terms of this trade has changed numerous times, and now we have the terms of the Eagles and Miami Dolphins trade. I mean, it's enough for me to wrap my head around here with one move with the 49ers. You've got two moves to figure out with the Miami Dolphins here, who now sit on the clock at number six in this draft. So, I mean, I don't even know if you have any initial takeaways except for just, wow, with this move. And I love this. This shakes up the entire NFL world. And we're talking about franchise quarterbacks. This is a franchise-altering move in San Francisco.
Yeah, this will really set the 49ers into an opportunity to make a push and kind of reestablish themselves as an NFC force to be reckoned with. And, of course, the big bonus for them is they didn't give up any extra draft capital in 2021 to get this deal done with sending their 2022 and 2023 first round selections and the 2022 compensatory pick for the Robert Saleh hiring to Miami. So that you have to be thrilled with that if you're San Francisco. Hey, we moved up nine spots and we didn't give up anything for the here and now other than just the pick that's going back in return that we're moving up from.
That's huge. I am blown away, actually, by the value there. I didn't think the 49ers, if they moved up for a quarterback, and by the way, I just did a video with Trevor Sikkema last night, on the Versus series there at the Draft Network, and I was drafting for the 49ers, and I had them moving up to pick six with the Eagles, actually. So the Eagles actually did end up going on the clock at pick 12 like we had going in that mock, but I didn't think the 49ers would be willing to pay the price it would cost to go up to number three. But that cost to go up to number three, I think, was a much better deal for the 49ers looking at it now than I expected it would have been. So the Niners didn't have to give up any selections other than number 12 to go to number three in this year's draft. So that has to be a huge win value-wise.
Yeah, and for the Dolphins' standpoint, to move down three spots, to pick up an extra three, an extra one, when it's all said and done, after parlaying the deal with San Francisco into a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, they're still well positioned to draft a pass catcher. And that's kind of the big thing for the Dolphins, is looking to build out an opportunity to get Tua Tagovailoa some help. And they will be able to do that. And for them to add extra picks to their future, they've always preached, you know, with this regime, they want to be a team that builds through the draft. And then they came out swinging in free agency last year. And then they were kind of quiet to the start this year. And Dolphins fans are looking around wondering, what the heck's going on? Like, are you trying to build around to? Well, yeah. So that was the big surprise when this deal first came through, was, oh, okay, you move back to 12. So are you confident one of those receivers is going to get there? Do you like the middle of the first round options more? They have the 18th pick for potentially like Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. Well, no, they turned around and they took the 2022 that they got from San Francisco. They're keeping that one, and they are sending their own first round selection with 12 to go back up to three in it, or back up to six, in addition to a day three pick swap in this year, sending a four and getting back a five from the Eagles.
So this officially, and it's funny because the Eagles have already announced that part of the trade before the 49ers Dolphins trade has gone through, but that has to go through first for this one to happen. It is so Eagles trade pick six and 156 to the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Dolphins get 12. No, Eagles get 12. 123, and you said it was the Miami original 2022
first round pick for 2021.
That's ballsy for the Dolphins. They're banking on being better than the 49ers, or else they're moving back in 2022, right?
And hopefully, you know, we're talking a difference of one or two spots somewhere, 32, 31, you know, in a perfect world, you know, you're splitting hairs a little bit, but, yeah, this was an interesting layer here for the Dolphins. And, you know, I'm just still trying to wrap my head around the ramifications. And I felt really good about the value that they got from San Francisco. But this tells me that they have somebody that they love, that they do the math and they think they're going to be able to get a deal done. Or they're going to be able to see that player still on the board at six, whether that's Kyle Pitts from Florida or Jalen Waddle from Alabama or Devontae Smith from Alabama. For you to give up one of these future, I mean, you would have had first round picks in four consecutive drafts, multiple first round picks. You would have had a total of nine in four seasons if you'd have kept all these picks that you got after this deal with San Francisco. So for them to punt on one of those, or not punt, maybe that's not the right verbiage, but they like somebody. And they feel really confident with the quarterback market. We're assuming quarterbacks going 1, 2, and 3. Carolina's still there at 8. Can they get a deal done with Atlanta within the division to move up and make it 4 quarterbacks in a row to start? Hard to say. Would Cincinnati move back? But Miami's really only got to worry about 2 picks. And if one of those picks ends up being a quarterback, now you got to worry about 1 pick, and you're still going to get the guy you like.
That's well put. I didn't really think of it that way. Locking in quarterbacks in front of you at 6 really helps you understand where you're going and who you're going to get. My question to you is there one name for you? You're in charge right now of that Miami Dolphins draft. Who's the one player that you know wasn't going to be there at 12 that you had to move up to 6 to get this far away from the draft?
Either Kyle Pitts or Jalen Waddle for me. And okay. You know, I think you could have maybe played the game if you like Devontae Smith. I think he probably would be the last to go because he doesn't have that athletic trait to really hang your hat on. He's not overly big. He's more of a technician. He's not overly strong. He doesn't run in the 4.2s like Jalen Waddle runs when he's healthy. So I think for Miami, my inclination is it's either Pitts or Jalen Waddle. I wouldn't sleep on Jamar Chase just because Jamar Chase has had so much heat in big national media, all the NFL Network and ESPN guys. They have constantly tied the Dolphins to Chase. So if they, as insiders, they know that, then perhaps that's a line to be drawn. But I look at stylistically, the Dolphins ran a lot of 2 tight end sets last year. Could be Kyle Pitts. They went out and they got Will Fuller. They had a trouble really taking the roof off the defense and getting space underneath. Teams just sat on all their routes. So adding Will Fuller and then the Jalen Waddle, it's going to create a lot of room for everybody if that were the direction that you would go. So that's kind of my short list. Any of the 4 is still on the table. And maybe it was a matter of we just want to make sure we're going to get our choice out of a majority of them.
So many angles to this blockbuster trade. Grades for the trade from both the 49ers and Dolphins perspective, and what prospects are going to be selected ultimately at picks 3, 6, and 12 coming up on this crossover 49ers Dolphins trade edition. March Madness is upon us and everyone's getting involved, and you can get involved at betonline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, including the college basketball tournament. Football might be over, but NBA is happening, NHL is happening, build your brackets, bet on any of the games happening right now, NFL draft props, which are always super fun. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Go to betonline.ag, use your mobile device too, if you want, to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON. Again, promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One of the reasons I thought the 49ers had a nice ability to move up in this draft from pick 12 is because I thought there was an elite player that would be there. And for a team, you know, say 6, which is the trade we made yesterday on that live mock draft, going from 6 to 12, you might not get to choose which one of them it is, but you can be sure that you're going to get a player from a certain tier, I think. And so I understand why the Eagles wouldn't mind going down. And by the way, this is another wrinkle here, and I don't even have it saved anymore. Apparently, the Eagles tried to go up first, but they wanted
to go get Zach Wilson. I saw that.
And they can't get to 2 And it's pretty much a done deal, it seems like. Now, if we're reading the tea leaves, Zach Wilson's going two to the New York Jets. Since they couldn't get up for Zach Wilson at two, that's what made them okay with the idea of getting out of there and not going quarterback at all. So for them, there's a huge gap, apparently, between Zach Wilson and the next best quarterback. And maybe there's still a quarterback in play at 12, or maybe that's them saying it was either Zach Wilson or we're going to roll with the quarterback group we have right now.
Yeah, and Philadelphia, the report was out from Jeffrey Lurie that they were going to build around Jalen Hurts and trying to fly under the radar a little bit. And, you know, it's the quarterback market this year in its entirety has been fascinating, because even the Dolphins, you know, before the allegations against Deshaun Watson had come out, they were tied about potentially being one of these teams contending for Deshaun Watson as well. And you have to think due process is going to play out there, and it should play out there. Football should be the last thing on our minds in that regard. But, you know, Miami, what not that long ago, 2-3 weeks ago, was considered in the market for Deshaun Watson amongst these teams like Carolina and Denver and San Francisco that are all kind of jostling and angling against one another. And you maybe think, too, that with the severity of the allegations in that situation, maybe that was something that prompted and facilitated these dominoes to fall today, mm-hmm. because it's become quite clear that's not going to get any traction anytime soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is part of it, because essentially teams had to move on from that. And there's like, okay, well, we're not going to wait on that anymore. We can't, there's just too many layers of this, and that could go too long, and we have to figure out our draft situation. I'm sure the 49ers were one of those teams that were in on that conversation as well. To a certain point, there was the idea that the Dolphins might have been moving back to get extra picks to put a package together for Russell Wilson. I think that makes the least amount of sense now, especially after the trade back up to six. And if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you want the third pick anyway. You don't want the number of picks as much as you want the pick that's going to get you the next quarterback, too.
That was part of the deal breaker with Chicago when they kind of came to the table with this really good offer. But your best offer you could offer is 20. And if you put Russell Wilson on Chicago, they're not going to be picking in the top 10 anytime soon. So it's like, okay, we're going to get three picks in the 20s. Whoop-de-doo. So that value of that high pick if in trading for veterans would be extremely valuable. So this kind of seems like now that the pressure's on Carolina, if we're taking a look at the big picture thing now, you know, Dave Tepper, really aggressive owner, they've kind of not been shy about, yeah, we're in the market for a franchise quarterback. We're looking to upgrade that spot. And they kind of got the rug pulled out from underneath them a little bit here. So now you're sitting at 8, and your best case scenario is to get QB4. So I hope you love QB4. Otherwise, where do you go from here?
What about this? What about the Miami Dolphins moving back from 6 to 8 with the Carolina Panthers and holding their hands over the coals a little bit?
Yeah, if they can't get a deal done with Atlanta, because Atlanta's going to say, no, we really don't want to help you get linked up with a quarterback. So we're going to stay put or draft somebody, whether that's Kyle Pitts or Penei Sewell or whoever it may be. And then Cincinnati comes out and they draft Penei Sewell or they draft Kyle Pitts. Assume those two go 4-5. Yeah. Miami could come back to Carolina and say, hey, how much you want to ship our way now, get up in front. And then that way you don't have to worry about the Detroit Lions, who are a team that's very clearly building for the future, trading with the New England Patriots back at 15 and you getting jumped. And now you're sitting here looking at QB5 with the 8th overall pick.
I think the Denver Broncos shouldn't be slept on as a potential quarterback destination, and they know they would have to get up in front of number 8 unless, and that's the thing, is QB4 or QB5, is there a big difference? There's been a connection with Mac Jones and the Carolina Panthers at 8, and to me, if you're the Panthers and you really like Mac Jones, for me personally, that's too high for Mac Jones, period. But if you really like Mac Jones, you can probably sit there and feel pretty good about drafting him there. Although, from Chris Sims, Kyle Shanahan's best buddy from the University of Texas days, he says, 49ers, Dolphins, Kyle Shanahan trying to control his own fate. You trade up to 3 for a quarterback who is NFL ready right now, not a project. And to me, that says Mac Jones. The 49ers universe would crumble and people would go running naked in the streets if this was trading up for Mac Jones. And I would have a big problem with that.
The romanticization of Mac Jones this offseason has been pretty peculiar. I think back to the Senior Bowl, and you're listening to the analysis as the Senior Bowl, and just glowing reviews of Mac Jones left and right. And I understand that there is a pro-ready dynamic here, but I would say this as somebody who watched Tua Tagovailoa transition into the NFL, and they both played within Steve Sarkisian's offense at the University of Alabama. I think there's something to be said for so many of your primary read and play designs being superior to everything else that's happening on the college field with everybody else that you play against, which was clearly evidenced by Sarkisian and the offense that they had this past year. And Mac Jones ran it very efficiently, and he was kind of a master of the reads and the progressions. But the early stuff in the concepts was open so often, and Tua Tagovailoa gets to the NFL and guys aren't open as much. And I would ask you this, Brian, physically speaking, is Mac Jones a more appealing prospect than Tua Tagovailoa?
No.
I don't know what physical trait he has other than being taller that he's better at than Tua Tagovailoa.
And Tua was a better prospect coming out last year, even right, with the hip injury, than Mac Jones is right now. And we've seen that transition. And even if you're betting on Mac Jones being pro ready and you like some of the things he has, he still has to max out everything from the neck up just to be that level of quarterback that's still outside of the top 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, you're really hoping he can become Kirk Cousins, and he could be even a lot worse than that. And so that's not enough upside for me to be trading up for a quarterback and maybe not to be taking him at all in the top 15. But apparently some teams really love Mac Jones, and I don't really see it. And really, I think the best evidence to why you don't take Mac Jones that high is because we just saw Tua go through that transition. And that is not an easy transition to the NFL. And then on top of that, where's the upside? I will ask you this question, though, for the 49ers. So they're on the clock at pick 3, and more than likely it's going to go Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. So who is that target for the 49ers at 3? Kyle and I will both answer that question next. We are getting into the enticing 8, the 2021 Built Bar Bracket. What is your favorite flavor? Go to builtbar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter to vote. Today's matchup, cookie dough chunk versus birthday cake. I think this is where the run ends for the upstart birthday cake flavor. What flavor of Built Bar will reign supreme? Find out at builtbar.com. And while you're there, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next box of Built Bars, which are high in protein, high in fiber, yet low in calorie and low in sugar, while somehow not sacrificing any wonderful taste. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. I have a feeling this is for Justin Fields. That's where I think this is going. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, since they took over the 49ers in 2017, have been really big on personal connections. The first ever pick they made was literally a college classmate of John Lynch's. He had a class with Solomon Thomas. Like, they've really leaned on college coaches that they trust in evaluation processes. Justin Fields was a big time. He was Mr. Football in Georgia, right? And he went to this quarterback camp that's run by Mike Shanahan. It's called the Quarterback Collective. And Kyle Shanahan, one of the coaches there, as were some of the other, I think the current offensive coordinator as well for the 49ers, was one of the coaches there at this quarterback camp. So he's coached Justin Fields, and I think that is a huge part of this. And obviously, the talent, the arm talent, and the athleticism and everything he brings to the table there. I have a feeling that it's Justin Fields. I always felt that Justin Fields would be quarterback 3 in this class, and then I think it's Lance 4, and then Mac Jones is a distant 5 after that group of prospects. But who do you think it is? Who do you feel like the 49ers would be moving up to number 3? Who's your third quarterback on your list?
All of the noise about Lance and the hype gives me a little bit of an inkling that it is Justin Fields. It's almost like there's too much of a push towards those other guys. And you see that with kind of the misinformation and lying season that we get into this time of year, where anything that goes headlines, it's like it's out there for a reason. And I look at the resume of Justin Fields, and I look at the resume of Trey Lance, and then I look at the physical tools of Justin Fields, and I look at the physical tools of Mac Jones, and I have a really hard time reconciling how Justin Fields is not coveted above both of those players. And for me personally, he's my second-rated quarterback in this year's class. So I like Justin Fields a ton. So I think you know what you're going to get with Justin, and I think this Shanahan style approach to offense would really set Justin Fields up for success. I think him and Trey Lance are cut from the same cloth as far as their style of play, but Fields did it at a higher level. did it for longer and has just as good of physical tools. For me, that's pretty straightforward, cut and dry. And then you throw in the relationships aspect of it on top of it, and that's a really easy connection to make, and I think you're on the right track here, Brian.
I feel confident in that, but I'm also seeing things about Mac Jones. I'm seeing things about Trey Lance, and it's just hard to know, and maybe we'll learn more about that very, very soon. And the 49ers have a press conference set up for Monday, so they'll probably talk a lot about it. I don't think they're going to tell us who they're going to draft, but I know they know which prospect it is, and they know who's going one and two, or else they wouldn't have made this move so early. I don't think it's a situation like, well, we like all three quarterbacks, so we'll see which one falls to us. I think they're really targeting one player, and unless they know, I mean, look, they're buddies with the guys over in New York with the Jets. Maybe they know something we don't about what the Jets are going to do, and that could be part of this. I doubt it. I think it's going to be Lawrence. I think it's going to be Wilson, and then the Niners are on the clock, and right now I would say the leader in the clubhouse is Justin Fields for the reasons we both laid out right there. Real quick to sum this all up, Kyle, how would you grade the dealings today for the Dolphins with both trades put together?
I would give the move back to 12 an A. You're getting three first-round picks for the price of the number three overall pick. It's effectively what the Detroit Lions got for Jared Goff, or for Matt Stafford, without having to absorb Jared Goff's contract. So... that return is excellent, right? Like, you feel really good. There's no economic downturn. And for the Dolphins, who are with the cap reduction, a little bit squeezed on the cap, you save a little bit of cap space by trading down. So there's a lot of variables here that I like in moving down and the assets that they got. I'll need to see who they end up taking at six to say with confidence what I would give the number or the second pick with Philadelphia, that trade, because if they end up taking Devontae Smith at six, I can't help but ask myself, could you have maybe moved up to nine and gotten in front of the New York Giants and still had a chance to draft him and not give up a first-round pick next year? But I'd say these dealings are a net win for the Dolphins across the board. The trade down with San Francisco is absolutely an A, and I'm going to leave it as to be determined to see who they draft at six, because that's going to be the telling factor for me.
Definitely a win-win trade here. I would give the 49ers probably an A, and obviously this has to play out for the next multiple years to really find out what kind of grade this gets and who the 49ers end up with that quarterback. But I like the move for the 49ers to go up and not have to give up any second round picks. So they still have their second rounder this year. They didn't have to give up their third rounder this year. They still keep their second rounder next year, which I think is important. So you're not losing those back-to-back first and second round picks, which can really hurt an organization when you're trying to, draft starting players. So for that reason, I like this trade for the 49ers. Now it comes down to which quarterback do you pick? I just can't wait to see a crazy talented physically quarterback play under Kyle Shanahan, because we haven't seen enough of that. And that's the thing that really excites me. Not only what he looks like as a rookie, and who knows, maybe it's still Jimmy G's show. If you believe Schefter's sources, has said, quote, Jimmy is here to stay. Here's our guy this year. That's from a 49ers source to Adam Schefter today. I'm not sure I buy that, because Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously a lame duck. You go up to number three, that's the guy you want to be your starting quarterback. And we've seen Tua last year wasn't even supposed to play because of his hip, right? And so you move up to three for a quarterback, you expect that guy to be able to play early. I do agree with that first part of what Chris Sims wrote in his tweet. I disagree about the Mac Jones part. You expect him to be able to play this year. So I think the 49ers would be willing to listen to Garoppolo offers. Will they get those offers? I have no idea. But I just can't wait to see what Kyle Shanahan can do with somebody as physically explosive, arm talent, size, athleticism as Justin Fields or Trey Lance. That's what really excites me. And that could be years two, three, four. Like, this is a long-term marriage, and I can't wait to see what that looks like for Kyle Shanahan's offense with somebody that physically gifted at quarterback.
For sure. And just a testament to the gravity of this situation, all the topics that we covered today, and there's more layers than that than what we were even able to get into. Oh, so this is a major, major blockbuster, and Brian, I'm glad we could link up and kind of filter through some of this together. And, I guess we'll see what else comes down the pipeway this afternoon and in the build up to the 2021 NFL draft.
Absolutely. Find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Kyle is at Grinding the Tape. And I'm sure you are going to continue that grind, right? Of the tape grind on the Draft Dudes podcast as well. And all of your work at the Draft Network. And of course, we're doing it daily, talking about the Miami Dolphins and the San Francisco 49ers, respectively, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And expect us to peel that onion many layers going forward next week with this blockbuster trade. Kyle, always a pleasure. Thanks for jumping on with me on this emergency crossover pod.